This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest, Scott Shellady. He's been a trader in the past. Might know him better, though, on TV, RFD-TV, as the Cow Guy. Scott Shellady joins us in just a moment. Joe Parsons is administrator of the National Ag Statistics Service on farm production.
Average per farm expenditures in 2023 was $255,000, and that is up from 2022. Expenditures are higher for crop farms at nearly $300,000, $298,000 to be specific, than for livestock farms, which was $220,000. Livestock farms tend to include more smaller operations. It should be said that we also produce these data by size class, and so the very largest farms are larger farms that both between $1 million and $5 million in farm value sales have the largest category of farm production expenditures.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Scott Shellady. Scott is the Cow Guy on RFD-TV. And I tried to think of ways to introduce you, and there is no other way because that's really become your brand, hasn't it?
It's almost to the point where nobody really knows my real name, which sometimes I kind of like, but and I'm actually the second one. My father was the first Cow Guy. He started wearing a black and white Holstein jacket in the corn pit in Chicago, probably in the late 1970s. So he had it for a while, and then he retired in 2001, and that was about the time I came back from my first stint in London. I was in London for 16 years, 12 my first one and 4 my second tour. But when I came back, I thought, you know what? If he retires, I'll wear it. And I started wearing it, and one thing led to another, and it caught on. And I had been doing TV up until then, but not wearing the cow jacket. So when I put that thing on, it attracted some attention. And so when the money came into our markets, I don't know if anybody really remembers, but hedge funds really began to play a big role in our markets, commodity markets, I say, because I've dealt in, and there's only really three markets you can trade in. There's derivatives of all of them, obviously, but you can trade agricultural, commodities, you can trade interest rates, and you can trade equities. Those are the three main things. And the funds have been, the hedge funds and Wall Street money and international money have been obviously very, very active in interest rates and equities. But it wasn't until about 2001 that they started to really dip their toes into the commodities markets. And that coincided with me coming back from London and my dad retiring and me putting on the jacket and kind of everything kind of all came together at once. And so with that jacket and the money that was coming in from across the world with the hedge funds, and then at the same time the media aspect, kind of all, I call myself the accidental commentator. I didn't really mean for it all to happen, but it did.
Okay, so I know why you wore the jacket, and maybe anybody who was kind of dialed in back when we traded in the pits in Chicago will understand that, but there are quite a few people who have no idea what we're talking about when we say pit trading and a jacket. How does all that go together?
Good question. I mean, in the old days, it doesn't seem like that far away, to me now. But in New York, they had pits for trading equities, and what that means is a bunch of traders representing either themselves or other bigger entities are in a ring together, and they make deals with hand signals across a 10 to 20, maybe 50 foot section of a ring where all the buying and selling comes together. And it helps to be big, tall, wide. It helps to have a jacket that would attract a lot of attention, and a black and white cow jacket did that too. Anywhere, I mean, I trade that on the floors in London. I've been on the floor in Paris before it went electronic. I've been on the floors of all places all over the world, Asia, Germany, and obviously the U.S., and everybody had kind of the same thing, where they had a ring or a pit where all the business and buyers and sellers came together, and that's where they traded or they did deals with buyers and sellers in an open outcry environment, kind of like an auction. But at the same time, you had to attract some sort of attention somehow, and it was good to be tall and wide. You took up space, and at the same time, it was also good if you had on something that attracted attention, and a black and white cow jacket did that. But and to take it one step further, Tony, is that, I did a lot of traveling back in my younger days when I was living in Europe, and you go down the concourses of all those airports, and you see, at the time, CNN had kind of had a monopoly on financial news, And I thought to myself how boring it must be to see all these guys just with blue suits, white shirts, and red ties. It'd be interesting if I could catch some eyeballs, maybe if I was up there, you know, in a black and white jacket. And I approached the exchange because that was going to be my first port of call. And they took me on for a couple of trials, and one thing led to another, and it just exploded because all the money coming in wanted to talk to the guy in the black and white jacket and the cow and the corn pit, and at the same time, some of them started to get to like me, and they had me back on more often. And like I said, one thing led to another from that trading, you know, in a corn pit with a black and white jacket on to being a pundit on TV. It really might sound like a big leap, but it really was kind of natural.
Oh, you did talk about back when we did this, you know, kind of doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but we moved from open outcry to electronic trading. And now I maybe there's some options that are still traded in pits or, you know, in rooms somewhere. I know Derry was one of the last to kind of shut it down. But as we've made that transition from open outcry to electronic, the markets have changed a little bit. So when you look at where we are right now, and we're seeing some depressed prices in the grains, the oil seeds, and now pressure in the livestock markets kind of pulling them down as well, and where we are with the equity markets, does this resemble any other time that you can recall? And if so, when? And if not, what do you think about where we are?
Well, I would say that you know, electronic trading changed the way we trade, but the track is still the same. You know, so it's like racing. You know, the cars are different and they've gotten faster and lighter and more efficient, but they're still going around that same track, if you know what I mean. So operationally, everything's the same, but the actual, you know, putting it into place probably is a lot different. Because a lot of these things have electronic eyes, so they're searching for anomalies, or some things are taught to look for, reading some you know, corporate statements or reading the USDA reports. So you do have some things that are totally different than they used to be 25 years ago, but it's still corn and it's still cattle. And if there's too much corn, well, the price goes down regardless if there's a lot of electronic trading. Or the speed of the move might be different, but the overall general 30,000 foot view of that move is probably going to be the same on a chart in 5 years' time. So when it comes to the type of trade, that really isn't that, you know, that's not that different. You know, we're going into a period here, I think, you know, it looks very, very similar to 2014 to 2019 when it comes to ags. And we've got some ratios like our stocks to usage ratio and say corn. This is looking similar to, say, 2014. And if it is similar, we're going to have a couple years here where we're going to go sideways for a little while. And that's what commodities do, and that's okay. But to getting to those prices, yeah, the market is very volatile. And the market goes down fast and it goes up fast. And that's all different. That didn't used to be the way it was, because if you got to remember, there's people in a ring or a pit that are doing the counting of all the contracts that they're selling and they're buying. And so the market had a natural governor on it. It slowed it down a little bit. But now when it's electronic, there's no governor, which can be a bad thing during mistakes. But generally speaking, there's no governor. So you can sell as many contracts as you want as fast as you can, or at least as fast as a computer can do it. So that's changed a little bit that way. Getting the business done has changed, but really the business hasn't changed. So, you know, on a chart, it's the same business. Getting things executed is not the same business, but all in all, this does look similar to, you know, 2014 to 2019, I would say, to be fair. And you know, we'll come out of it. It'll be a little bit different. I was just at a conference the last 2 days up in just south of Indianapolis. And I know to some degree they were speaking to their customer base, which was in the room, farmers and people in the ag economy. But at the same time, they had some very, very good research that suggested that things will get better maybe in a year or two, maybe even a lot better. And I'm talking sunspots studies, you know, ocean temperature studies, things that are pretty interesting. So I've seen this before. It's not very comfortable for farmers, obviously, and ranchers that have seen these prices erode on them. But it does, you know, nothing lasts forever. And we're setting ourselves up, I think, for a good, you know, 5 years, but it might take a year or two to get there.
Okay. Couple of minutes left here, and wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about your transition. We've kind of touched on it, but you transitioned from actually trading in the pits to now in front of a camera on a daily basis. You're a market specialist with RFD-TV, and you also have your own show called The Cow Guy Close. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, we have a family farm, and, I don't want to, RFD-TV obviously is a rural agricultural television channel. And we do 5 hours of Market Day Report before my show comes on. And I don't want to teach farmers how to farm. I think that we had a farm. We have brokers that would come around and try to teach us how to farm from Chicago, and they didn't realize my dad and I still traded in the pits. And so it's not my business to tell people how to farm or tell people how to ranch. They should probably have a pretty good idea about that if they've been doing it for a while. But what I'd like to do is help them make money, take the money they make from that and make more money with it, right? Invest that money. And so we came up with the idea for a show at RFD-TV that was more financially centered rather than agriculturally centered. We talk about agriculture, obviously, on the show, but it's more or less what are you going to do with the money you make from your day job, which is ag or ranching? And it's really it struck a nerve in a good way. And so we've got a lot of people watching it. It's the number one live show on the network, and our numbers annually are still increasing at a great pace. So it's a lot of fun. But it's a little bit different than standing in a pit, but at the same time, it's not. There's an adrenaline rush, there's preparation. It's a lot like even athletics, So I really enjoy it. Getting out and about and pressing the flesh like I just did up in Indianapolis over the last few days has been fantastic that way. But, I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. I've always wanted to do it, too. And I always kind of had my eye on that. I always knew that at some point in time, when I traded in London, for 16 years, about halfway through that, I saw they moved electronic way before the U.S. did. And that's when I had kind of a little bit of a heads up that you might want to feather the nest here and make sure you've got another foot on another lily pad, because this is not going to be around forever. And that's when I started to make that transition, because I was getting a lot of hits and a lot of airtime anyway. And so I thought, maybe if I could make this into a full-time gig, that would be what I wanted to do. So I love it. So it's not really even a job. It's a lot of fun. And I look forward to going in every day.
So you mentioned athletics, and that just means we'll have to come back and do this again, because we didn't even mention your opportunity to play football after high school. So that just means we have to come back and do it again sometime. You can keep up with Scott Shellady, the Cow Guy, online, simply thecowguy.com. Thecowguy.com. You can also catch The Cow Guy Close on RFD-TV Central Time at 1 p.m. Scott Shellady is our special guest today on the Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton, to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
In this heat, you're concerned about both the health of your animals and their performance. Strobel Super Shades can reduce the dangerous ground temperatures 30 degrees or more. Strobel Super Shades, the best-built cattle shades in the industry, available in 40 by 40 with 1,600 square feet of shade, or 20 by 20. Proven to protect your cattle and increase your gains. Go to StrobelShades.com for more. StrobelShades.com. Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Scott Shellady, the Cow Guy.
Attention, High Plains landowners. The Sandhill Area Research Association is looking for 50 ply lakes in need of restoration. This project brings free resources to you and includes a per-acre incentive. Playas matter today for our ecosystem and for tomorrow's water supply. To learn more, visit playasworkfortexans.com. Together, we can leave a legacy of water for future generations.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Scott Shelody, the Cow Guy, online, thecowguy.com. In this eat, you're concerned about both the health of your animals and their performance. Strobel Super Shades can reduce the dangerous ground temperatures 30 degrees or more. Strobel Super Shades, the best-built cattle shades in the industry, available in 40 by 40 with 1,600 square feet of shade, or 20 by 20, proven to protect your cattle and increase your gains. Go to StrobelShades.com for more. StrobelShades.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turn roads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
This is the Agribusiness Report.
Heat, dryness, and drought further impacts pasture and rangeland conditions nationwide. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
Current numbers 35% good to excellent, down 4 percentage points from last week, and then very poor to poor ratings up to 31%. That is up 2 points from the previous week.
Several areas report condition deterioration for pastures and rangelands for the period ending August 4th. However,
from the Midwest, we see Missouri leading at 80% good to excellent. Other Midwestern states still above 70% include Minnesota and Wisconsin. In the Southeast, Florida had drought very early in the season and then significant rainfall since. That has pushed pastures in Florida back to 79% good to excellent. As we look at the Great Plains, North Dakota leads the region, 66% of the rangeland of pastures still good to excellent.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.